For now, Local Talk listeners, I hope you have a cup of coffee handy. You may need it to keep up with our next guest, Dave Swenson, who I spoke with over the weekend about the subject of economic development in Iowa. Dave has been working at the Iowa State University Department of Economics for over 30 years, where he is associate scientist specializing in local and regional economic development. I wanted to talk to David for a couple of reasons. One of them was that a few weeks back, the Center for Budget and Policy Priorities released a study about job creation all over the country, which showed that the vast majority of new jobs came from what they call indigenous sources, people who were born and educated in the state and developed an idea, started a business, and that grew, or from companies that already existed in the state and were growing. Only a tiny fraction, only about 3% or so of new jobs come from corporations that relocate from another state. The title of the report was, quote, State Job Creation Strategies Often Off Base. This is because, as we see in Iowa, many of the biggest packages and biggest headlines go to out-of-state corporations who invest in Iowa. I asked David Swenson for his local take on this national study, and he immediately got started talking about how this idea of investment is off base. What do you think, David? Do we have a good job creation strategy in this state of Iowa?
The answer, the short answer and the categorical answer is no. But most states don't. Job creation strategies within states usually center around inducements to try to attract businesses. We used to call it smokestack chasing, trying to get another manufacturing firm. Over the years, as the wind blows, our governments will swing from one thing to the next. They might have swung to IT. They might swing to biotech because that's an area here that we have some prominence in. Just 8 years ago or 9 years ago, everybody was seeking green jobs. So we go all over the place trying to chase jobs. And as you noted, though, that most jobs aren't caught. Most jobs just simply occur, and they occur because of the initiative of people that just happen to be in our communities. Or there are other businesses that are already here, and they're slowly expanding because they've been successful. And that's where the vast majority of jobs come from. Yet the money we spend on economic development very often involves trying to chase Grand Slam home runs, trying to get an automobile plant, trying to get a chemical plant, trying to get something that looks like a great big deal that other states are in competition for, and it oftentimes comes at a very, very high price. Iowa isn't the only state that does this. Some of the states are just as bad as Iowa, like some of the states down south, Mississippi, South Carolina, Alabama, intense competition, for example, for automobile manufacturers. So this interstate competition for capital, this interstate competition used to be for jobs, but now it's really just capital. It's investment. Has accelerated over the years. And Iowa is one of those states that just as aggressively as any other state will try to chase a firm.
Okay, before we get into the details with Iowa, can you explain a bit the difference between luring capital and luring jobs or chasing capital?
Sure. What's happened over the years is economic developers, again, especially in a state like Iowa, they've counted their success not in the amount of jobs that they've been able to either stimulate or to develop or to in one way or another claim on their balance sheet. They've shifted from that more towards the value of capital investment. How much investment have we been made? As if you look at the Iowa Department of Economic Development here in the state of Iowa, they very, very often talk more about the value of what they've been able to lure to the state of Iowa than the number of jobs. There's a great example of that. We have, it's just being finished up, a fertilizer plant in southeast Iowa, very, very expensive plant. The Iowa State Economic Development Authority has touted it as a great big success. This is a project that will cost over $1 billion to complete. But it's also a project that we've underwritten either through federal, state, or local assistance upwards of $500 million worth of subsidy. And what they're claiming is this capital investment, somehow the state of Iowa is now worth more but that project is only going to hire 165 people, and that works out to something like $3 million per job, which is dumb. And that's not the way it used to be. It used to be, how many jobs could we try to develop with the least amount of public cost? That's been thrown out the window now. And what they really talk about is capital investment, the capital chase.
Now, if the fertilizer plant costs $1 billion, are they going to have to pay property taxes on $1 billion now?
Well,
you know, when you have property, you have to pay property tax. Will they have to pay property tax?
Oh, no.
On that?
Part of the subsidy was that the Lee County gave them 20 years worth of a property tax break, so they don't have to pay any property taxes on their property that they developed. And as a matter of fact, when they do pay property taxes on that property, after 20 years, that property will have depreciated by 2/3 for property tax purposes. This, they've shot themselves in the foot. They boast about what they've done and claim that they're enhancing their region's economy, but they're not. They're shifting tax burdens to everybody else by giving a pass to this very large corporation by saying, you're so special, you don't have to pay taxes. It's not just state government, it's local governments as well. And they do this by primarily through tax increment financing. They just use the property taxes that the company would owe. They just simply rebate them and say, oh, thank you, and here you can have the check back.
Okay, so, I mean, to me, that seems like the real value of having more investment in a state or in a county or anywhere is that you can then assess it and tax it.
But that you're exactly right. We do want a reasonable amount of investment so that we can tax it. We want also people who are working so that we do two things. One, they provide them incomes. They spend those incomes in the regional economy. There's a multiplier effect. That's all fine and good. They also, though, pay taxes as well. Now, they also consume public goods. They consume local education. They consume the highways. They consume everything. They don't generate more taxes necessarily than they consume in public goods. So we have to be careful how we account that. But I want to back up. Economic development, the mere provision of jobs on average, isn't a public good. It's a private good. It's a public good, and it's a public responsibility if we have a problem with an area that has chronic unemployment. Iowa has one of the lowest unemployment rates in the state. So the whole idea of using public money to entice more job growth, unless you're targeting specific groups of people who have trouble finding work or that there's some sort of structural barriers keeping them from working, you're not producing a public good where you're doing something the market isn't doing. You're producing a private good, which, again, is just producing employment for people who are going to work in Iowa. They very well may already be in Iowa or more than likely are going to move to Iowa to take these jobs. And, again, even enticing people to come to the state of Iowa isn't a public good. The public good part of using public money is to try to make better the standard of living, the quality of life for Iowans who are currently here.
So if you were creating high-paying jobs or jobs for people with college educations, for instance, the many college-educated people that we produce out of the Iowa State University or University of Iowa, that might be a public good.
That's a good point, because we produce way more talent than our economy can use. So that talent, a big fraction of that talent in our community colleges, but especially in our regents institutions, it leaves the state because our economy can't use that talent. The way it's configured, the size of our economy just can't hire all those people. So an economic development strategy that promotes the kind of business recruitment that truly capitalizes on something like that, yes, that could be considered a public good. But the best way to do that is produce smart people, have smart, good, and honest government, adequate infrastructure, an acceptable bundle of amenities so people want to live here, and generally modest to low taxes. And we have all of those things. What we need to do is more of it, especially in the human capital side and especially on the infrastructure side. We need to have the best roads. We need to have the best airports. We need to have the best educated people in the state of Iowa. That's the ticket to economic development.
And that's David Swenson, associate economist from the Iowa State University. This is Local Talk. I spoke with Dave this past Saturday about the economic development strategy of Iowa. And as it happened, that morning's Des Moines Register had a front page story that played right into our discussion. Well, I was going to ask about a headline from today's paper about a $17 million deal that the state made with DuPont and Dow Chemical, who are merging. And I understand that we're paying them so they won't cut more jobs.
That's essentially what's happened. Dow and DuPont are merging. DuPont, a few years ago, took over or bought Pioneer Hybrid Seed. So when we think of DuPont here in the state of Iowa, what we're really talking about is Pioneer. We're also talking about that new ethanol plant just east of town. So there are other DuPont-related enterprises and activities in the state of Iowa. Now, what's going on is the headquarters, the corporate headquarters, is being moved to Wilmington, Delaware. But what the state of Iowa was interested in was maintaining its Johnston presence. Now, over the last decade, even more than a decade, the Pioneer Hybrid and then DuPont has expanded markedly in the Johnston area. It has a very, very large footprint. Most of that expansion was subsidized by the state of Iowa and by the city of Johnston and by the Des Moines Area Community College. So they've received millions and millions and millions of subsidy as they've built up this campus and capacity in central Iowa. There was a sense, or at least they claimed, that these jobs were at risk. Some 2,600 of these jobs were at risk if this merger went through and they reorganized everything. And so now the state of Iowa says it has offered and they'll accept $17 million worth of assistance to DuPont, now Dow, DuPont, Dow DuPont, and so that they were going to keep these jobs in the community. The problem with this is there was never any information that said that those jobs were at risk of leaving the community. There was no evidence that these jobs were at risk at all. Yet the state of Iowa has subsidized basically this merger, and it's a continuation of a subsidy. It was reported in the Des Moines Register that DuPont Pioneer has received over $60 million worth of assistance from the state of Iowa over the last 10 or 15 years. Now we add $17 million to that. Another website that I looked at called Good Jobs First actually puts that number for the state of Iowa for all DuPont-related activities at $120 million. This is a company that has been very, very good at extracting public resources from the state of Iowa. And in the process of either declining or perhaps promising not to decline more, they actually got another extraction of $17 million. And as a matter of fact, the amount of money we're giving this company for its R&D activity to not leave, they say, is more than the state of Delaware gave to the headquarters to locate in the headquarters in Wilmington, Delaware. So it's bizarre. It's out of control. It makes no sense. I'll give you one more example. Just a few years ago, the state of Iowa gave these investment credits, capital development credits, to Principal, wonderful company in Des Moines. Principal wasn't hiring any more people. It was just simply renovating its facilities. And they renovated their facilities, and the state of Iowa and Polk County and Des Moines also gave them tax breaks just to renovate their facility. What any other business would have to do as a normal course of business activity has now become subsidized by the state. So we've pumped a lot of this money into these kinds of things, but the frustrating result of this is that they don't put money, or they don't have programs, or they're not doing the kinds of things maybe that would help develop indigenous industries, whether it's startups, whether it's incubators. We have a research park out here in Iowa State University. There are incubators in other places, like at the University of Iowa. But activities and spending in support of business development starting small is a long, slow process. And the state of Iowa isn't very good at that, because politicians take credit for job creation and these sort of big news items. The roll up your sleeves and help the economy kind of stuff that really has to go on isn't very pretty. It's kind of ugly. You have a lot of failures. You have to talk about training. You have to think in terms of design and the characteristics of economy. Some places you have to say, no, you can't do this because you don't have the capacity to be this. So it requires a kind of leadership and technical assistance level that we've moved away from. And what we've moved much more towards is marketing and promotion. And that leads to the kind of goofy economic development that we've been living with.
Okay. So marketing and promoting the state in national. Okay. So just to clarify, this Principal Financial Group, they received money from the state to change their carpet?
Exactly. To renovate their facility, to make it much more modern, to perhaps put some more technology in, because technology had changed since it was first built. But basically, all they did was renovate their facility. They didn't hire any more people. There was no job creation. And the state of Iowa said, well, that fits our criteria because you're investing in Iowa. You're investing.
Now, in all of these cases, when you're talking about investment, it usually takes people on the ground building things. So it seems like the construction industry is always somewhat of a beneficiary mm-hmm. of these kinds of investments. How does that weigh into things?
Well, the construction industry does, and they will benefit. They'll benefit from what happened in Southeast Iowa, Orascom. We have another fertilizer plant now that's going up in near Sioux City. By the way, that company bought the Orascom thing, and it is now one great big fertilizer conglomerate combination. Those are two great big things, but they're just like the ethanol plants. The ethanol plants were great, except that most of the high-skilled jobs required to build the ethanol plants, to put them together, they didn't come from Iowa. They came from Oklahoma. They came from Louisiana. They came from Kansas. They came from places that had a long history of building what is essentially a chemical refinery. Same thing with the new cellulosic ethanol plant out near Nevada. If I went by and I got kicked out of there for doing it, I went by and I was looking at the license plates of all the trucks in the parking lot while they were building it. And fewer than 1 in 10 of them at the time I was there was from Iowa. So you can see, yes, it's construction jobs. Yes, it's good for an economy to a degree. But those workers, they send that paycheck back home because they got bills at home to pay. They don't send that paycheck here in Iowa. So construction is sometimes a red herring. Construction, yeah, how about construction for roads? That hires people here in Iowa. Rebuilding bridges, those are Iowa people. Building chemical plants in Southeast Iowa, most skilled workers come from out of state.
I thought you were going to throw in a pipeline, a crude oil pipeline.
We've been down that pipeline road. There's some contention as to how many jobs are going to be built with the pipeline. The issue with the pipeline wasn't that Iowa didn't have the skills to make a pipeline. Iowa's construction industry is really fully employed. It has more people working in construction than before the recession. And so the argument that there's an idle workforce out there looking for these kinds of jobs just doesn't wash. And what we learned in that Bakken pipeline deal is that the prime contractors are from out of state. They're going to bring their talent in from out of state. Their best jobs are going to come in from out of state. And then they're going to hire what they need as they move along. And so they're going to hire civil engineers, and they're going to hire engineering operators, and they're going to hire welders and pipe fitters and that along the way. But most of the good jobs, or a large fraction of those good jobs, aren't going to go to Iowans.
Okay. And we've also had many successes in luring high-tech industries here to the state, it seems. We've got Google and Facebook and
Microsoft in West Des Moines. Those are all data centers. Now, you're going to be surprised that I'm going to say these are no big deal. And these are no big deal. They're great, big, very expensive capital projects. They qualify for public assistance, state assistance. Again, they hardly hire. They have very few employees. They pay them pretty well, but maybe there's 40, 45 employees working at one of these facilities. So you have this massive present, this massive footprint, and I call them great big hot boxes. That's all they are. They're just this massive consumer of electricity. But they don't link to anything else in this rest of the state's economy. The only thing they're buying from the state's economy is electricity. And everything else that went into that building, all the special mechanical and technical and computer and all of that, that wasn't made in Iowa. We maybe put up the building. Somebody in Iowa put up the building. But all the innards, the valuable stuff, none of that came from Iowa. And again, probably the vast majority of what was constructed and then installed required out-of-the-state labor. So we fool ourselves by saying, well, look at this capital investment that Facebook is making in the state of Iowa, and now we're really up there in IT. No, that's not IT. That's just pumping out you know, information into the ether and consuming electricity. And I argue it's perfectly good. They're great, but we shouldn't be subsidizing these things. Either they're coming to the state of Iowa because they can get cheap electricity, which is why they come to the state of Iowa, and they can also claim some green credits with the windmills by saying that they're pumping out green energy. Well, that windmill electricity goes into the pool. We call it fungible. Everybody gets to claim it. I claim it. You claim it. Everybody says we're greener just because we have windmills in the state of Iowa. They claim they're very green because they have windmills.
Okay. This is Local Talk, and I'm one of your hosts, Greta Anderson. We're listening to my conversation with ISU economist Dave Swenson over the weekend. I hope to continue to pursue this story in future editions of Local Talk by speaking with local legislators, particularly Dave Dio of Nevada, who is the chair of the House Economic Development Appropriations Committee. So I asked Dave Swenson what policies could or should be promoted at the state level for healthier growth. Here's what David said. If you are going to impact state policy, where can you impact it?
Sure. There's a lot of things. First of all, if you can't control all of the behaviors, you start putting incremental controls. And incremental controls, for example, may limit the amount of money, for example, the state could award to any individual firm. Orascom got $133 million worth of state tax credits. What it means is that Orascom doesn't have to pay taxes over a period of years. They get their tax bill for zero. And that's going to amount to quite a lot of money because Orascom, what they make is going to get sold in Iowa, and that's why it would get taxed. By the way, that's another issue. You know, in Iowa, somebody like Rockwell Collins doesn't sell very much of what they make in Iowa, so they don't pay any Iowa taxes. Yet we subsidize them with research activity tax credits and other kinds of public assistance. So we have this big bundle of credits. First of all, these credits should have limited amounts. I don't know how much, maybe 5 million, maybe 10 million, maybe less. I don't know if you're going to do it, but at least start spreading these credits around so you don't throw all of this money into one pot. Second of all, develop job creation goals to these credits, not capital formation goals. We're interested in jobs and jobs that align with Iowa needs. So what we need are job creating status strategies, not capital investment strategies. Third, you should have a set of criteria that emphasize indigenous growth, helping companies expand, helping companies develop new products, helping companies with perhaps their training, which are things that we can be doing, but really less towards recruiting a firm from out of state and building up what we already have here. Fourth, we need to start paying attention to parts of the state that aren't doing well. We have a very, very healthy metropolitan economy. Ames, Iowa City, Des Moines metropolitan areas, very, very healthy. But if you go down one level of city, what's called micropolitan, the cities from 10,000 up to, in Iowa, it's about 35,000, almost all of them have not recovered back to the employment level they had prior to the recession. The state of Iowa has no programs that are systematically addressing these micropolitan economies, stabilizing these micropolitan economies, investigating what their needs are, what their deficiencies are, what their assets are, marketing them and assisting them. And if we spent more of that kind of assistance in stabilizing these regional economies, I think we'd have a stronger, healthier rural economy, because that's where people go to work. And those are the kinds of strategies that I'd recommend. And then the fifth one, education, education, education. Get everybody in school and keep them in school. Don't let anybody, don't let them get away with just getting a high school education. Keep them in school. One more year, two more years, it makes a difference. And anything the state of Iowa can do with its workforce to do that is important, and especially for its minority workforce and its minority members, because they're disproportionately marginalized by the economy.
Okay. And it sounds like we need to just stop our ears when we hear politicians claiming jobs created.
They do not create jobs. They do not create jobs.
So just ignore
that. No, the economy creates jobs. Look, we recovered from this recession. All along this way, you can't, you know, there was hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of new jobs that evolved as this recession recovered. Government had nothing to do with that.
Okay. Anything else that we've missed on this topic?
No.
Okay. Thank you so much, Dave.
You're welcome. Well, that'll get me in trouble.
And that was Dave Swenson, sharing his views on economic development in the state of Iowa.